For those of you joining us just now, I'm Ethan Helkind, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Calls One Planet series. We are podcasting our show, and you can find out more information at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows to find out what's coming up next. And if you have a show idea for us, send it our way at yourcall@kalw.org, or you can call us at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Well, now we're going to discuss the Trump administration's efforts to dismantle the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and its vital programs that for decades have worked to protect the environment and public health. And to discuss some of the swift and really unprecedented changes that we've seen at EPA since Trump's inauguration, we're very pleased to be joined by Marianne Lavelle. She is an award-winning reporter for the Pulitzer Prize-winning nonprofit news organization Inside Climate News. Marianne has covered environment, science, law, and business in Washington, D.C. for more than two decades. Marianne, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Ethan. Good to be with you.
So, Marianne, EPA has always been a target for conservatives and specifically for Trump and his allies because they want to do away with any regulations that specifically hinder the oil and gas and chemical industries and other polluting industries as well. And last week, EPA employees were among the federal workers who received a buyout offer. ProPublica reported that more than 300 career employees have left their jobs since the election. What are you hearing about in terms of the most recent impacts on the agency and what the plans are now by the Trump administration for the EPA going forward?
Well, it's hard to know where to start because so much has been happening. Every day we hear something new. But two of the big things we covered last week at Inside Climate News were kind of the dissolution of their scientific advisory committees and putting on leave all of the staff who work on environmental justice. So I'll start with the scientific advisory committees because that's something that it's one of the reasons that our environmental protections have been so strong in this country. And I'll go back to something you said that EPA has always been a target for conservatives, but that's not really the case. It always has been in the lifetimes of a lot of your listeners, but EPA was started under the Nixon administration, and every major environmental statute was bipartisan. The Clean Air Act, even the Clean Air Act of 1990, was bipartisan. And really, there's a long, long history of both Republicans and Democrats agreeing on protection of the environment. But things have gone in a far different direction, I would say, since the early Obama administration and the fight against climate policy. And it has become extremely polarized in this agencies in the crosshairs. One of the things that happened even before the new EPA administrator took office, so this directive came right from the White House, was the outside science advisors. The panel of science advisors were completely dismissed, and the EPA officials said they were trying to depoliticize the panels, which was really news to the scientists who were part of the panels. Mm-hmm. What these folks do is they weigh in on what the best science is. They give advice. They don't make any decisions themselves. They just raise issues and really make sure that the agency is aware of the latest science on clean air, for instance. Well, the reason the conservatives have not liked those science advisory panels is because when people challenged the Trump administration in court for rolling back protections. The plaintiffs, the states that made the challenges, could point to that the EPA's own science advisors said this rollback was wrong, that particulate pollution, for instance, is a big health problem across the country. And this kind of silences that that voice of the science, and it could have very big implications as we go forward.
So as you mentioned, this, the science advisory boards don't have any decision-making authority, but when there are challenges to overturning environmental protection regulations that benefit the environment, then as you mentioned, these litigants can cite the science advisory board members as fuel that the agency should not have taken those steps. So it's sort of starting to play this long game towards rolling back environmental protections, which I think everyone is pretty much expecting from the Trump administration. But I'm wondering, with all of these freezes on spending, what are some of the near-term impacts as we await the regulatory rollbacks? What else are you seeing or hearing? I mean, EPA's under the Biden administration was distributing a lot of money that Congress had authorized, and now there's this spend or pause on the spending. What are some of the implications, and what are you hearing about what's happening at the agency then?
Right. There's a lot of confusion in among the folks, among the states and among the nonprofit groups that had that were getting grants from the EPA, because the court has stopped the Trump administration. The courts have stopped the Trump administration from having an all-out stop on funding. But it still seems a lot of groups are not able to draw down the funds that they are contracted to receive. So I would say a lot of confusion on that. One area is environmental justice. Congress authorized $3 billion in grants to address just the long-term, the historic overburden of pollution that many communities across this country have faced. It was really a landmark decision to address this problem that people have talked about for decades. And that money appears to be frozen right now. And the groups don't know. The groups who are administering the grants just don't know what will happen. They will find they have to lay off people. They're spending their own money. These things cannot, these programs cannot continue without without the money that they were budgeted and that they were promised.
Well, and if you're payroll to payroll, as some of these nonprofits probably are, even a small, short duration of spending freeze can really be a death knell for many of those employees. We're speaking with Marianne Lavelle, award-winning reporter for the Pulitzer Prize-winning nonprofit news organization Inside Climate News. Marianne has covered environment, science, law, and business in Washington, D.C. for more than two decades, and she's speaking to us now here on Your Call's One Planet series about the Trump administration's efforts to dismantle the United States Environmental Protection Agency. And I'm Ethan Elkind, sitting in for Rose Aguilar for this show. We want to open the phone lines. Are you worried about the direction of environmental protection in the United States, or are you personally affected? Do you have thoughts about what could be done by states, by Congress, and others to push back? You can join the conversation. We're opening the phone lines. The number is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also email us with any questions or comments at yourcall@kalw.org. Well, Marianne, how unusual is this spending freeze? And we know this is happening across the federal government. It's not just happening to US EPA, but that's, of course, the focus of our show today. But Has this happened before where other administrations have come in and put pauses on policies? Or does this feel like we're really at a different moment for EPA specifically?
Definitely a different moment for EPA and for all government agencies. It's not that unusual for new administrations to place a pause on new funding and to do a reassessment of policy and where they're going to spend their resources. But it is very unprecedented for a new administration to say that they won't honor the contracts that the last administration signed, basically, in the federal government. They call this obligations. The government agreed, obligated a certain amount of funds of the $3 billion that Congress allocated on environmental justice, for instance, $2 billion of it, two-thirds, was obligated. The groups were given the awards and were, you know, given access to the system so they could draw down the money as they did the work. And the work was just a whole variety of things. Small cleanups in overburdened communities, fence line monitoring of air pollution, climate resilience, making sure people had a place to go if in case of a storm or things like that. There just a whole variety of things. It's very unusual for, and someone, and as we'll soon find out, it is considered illegal to break a contract. If you or I made a contract, somebody could take us to court if we don't live up to that contract. And the same thing with the federal government. So, but that takes time. It takes resources to launch that kind of challenge. And the Trump administration has people, including the head of the budget office, who was just confirmed last week, Russell Vogt, who believe that the president should have the authority to break the contracts and decide where all spending goes from mm-hmm. this moment on. And they seem willing to test this in court. What they're saying is basically take us to court. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping we can get rulings that really change the way things have been done for decades.
What do you think is their end game here? I mean, it seems like they are just trying to starve out these nonprofits, make life intolerable for government employees. But then what happens next? I mean, they're going to need some of these employees to do their regulatory rollbacks. If they don't have competent staff, they're not going to be able to craft rollbacks of regulations that would survive judicial scrutiny. So what exactly is their end game here other than just destruction?
You really make a good point, because typically when you roll back a regulation, you have to go through a whole public process to do that. And and you have to build a case for why you're rolling back the regulation, and you have to have people in place to do that. And I don't know yet if there is not an appreciation for the amount of staff that they'll need, or that they just aren't going to follow the way mm-hmm. that things have been done in the past, or they're going to try not to live up to the letter of the law when yeah. it comes to rolling back those regulations. But one thing that they're sure to find is that the staff of the Environmental Protection Agency are there because the public has demanded that the federal government act on the environmental woes that many communities have faced. And even in Los Angeles, the EPA is very, very involved in addressing things like batteries and hazardous waste after the fires. And there's really the reason EPA is there is because lawmakers decided there was a need for an environmental protection agency, that it shouldn't just be one state having better protections than another, that we need a baseline across the country of protection, and that's what the EPA is all about.
Well, maybe we've, too many of us have forgotten that original need. If EPA has been almost too successful in solving the problem, maybe we're taking the agency for granted. I do want to take a caller here. We have a few minutes left in the program. We have Peter calling in from Florida. So Peter, welcome to Your Calls One Planet series.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm concerned that, well, in the past, a way that people flaunted their wealth, like John D. Rockefeller, was, you know, you buy up land and you preserve it. For instance, the Grand Teton National Park was founded by John D. Rockefeller, and lots of other ones like that. And the Adirondacks was Nelson Rockefeller, if you're not from New York, but Adirondacks is in northern. And basically, is, you don't have to, Trump doesn't have to think of, like, Republican and business being in favor of environmental destruction. No, one of the ways of flaunting your wealth is not having to turn everything into a commercial good, but in preserving nature. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's, it's called noblesse oblige.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that observation. Peter, Marianne, what are your thoughts?
It's such a good point. And all of these protected areas we have are the wealth of this country. They belong to all of us. And they really should be a shining example of what we can do as a nation, that we say these are some of these national parks are called jewels. Often the folks who work there look at them that way. And absolutely, there is no reason that should be considered an anti, not a conservative sort of point of view. Of course, it's literally conservative, and there's a long, long tradition of from Teddy Roosevelt on down.
Absolutely, and often good for business too. Good for property values. Good for tourism, et cetera. To have environmental preservation. Well, I wanted to ask you before we end the segment here, and we have a few minutes left. But what's happening in terms of the staffing at EPA, and specifically in terms of the Trump administration's move to really stock the political appointees with folks who have worked as attorneys and lobbyists for the industries that the agency regulates, so for the oil and gas companies, the chemical industries? Can you talk about those appointees and their backgrounds, as you know, this is basically the wolf guarding the hen house here?
Yes, and this happened in the first Trump term as well. The deputy head of EPA, who was just recently appointed, is a lawyer who has worked for the last 4 years for corporations that are fighting the EPA, fighting regulations. One of his most notable efforts was to prevent the EPA from banning uses of asbestos, arguing that, well, EPA, you haven't proven the harms of that asbestos is an unreasonable harm in these uses. And so now he's going to be on the inside making decisions, we think, about asbestos and many, many other pollutants.
Well, just Marianne, with all this happening going on at really a dizzying speed, how are you keeping up with everything? How are you deciding what to cover and how to cover it, given this just flurry of action here, really a blitz by the Trump administration to freeze and pause and intimidate.
Yes, it's a really agencies. Good question. Our editor at Inside Climate News has said teamwork is the way to go. And we're taking turns among our staff in covering what is happening day to day, the daily news, while the rest of us who aren't on duty that day are working on the deeper stories that really need to be told. I think it's a mistake to not pay attention to what's going on day to day. These things are very important, but it also would be a mistake not to be looking at the deeper consequences of this retreat from environmental and climate policy.
Yeah. And then I know you're focused on EPA, but what about environmental enforcement across the federal agencies? The Department of Justice, for example, they just dismissed reassigned all those attorneys on the Environmental Enforcement Division. Of course, Department of Transportation has a real role in this. Just briefly, how is this fitting into the larger mosaic of federal agency environmental action?
And so does NOAA, the Oceans Research agency. Yeah. Almost any agency, the Interior Department, for instance, has oversight of public lands. And last week, the new Interior Secretary just made clear he's looking at ways to open up more of it to oil and gas drilling. Well,
there's so much to cover. Absolutely. Yeah. So much to cover. We're glad you're on it, at least for EPA and everything else that's happening. But Marianne Lavelle, award-winning reporter for Inside Climate News, thank you so much for joining us on Your Calls One Planet series.
Glad to be here.
Well, that's our show. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, you can visit yourcallradio.org. Malihei Razazan and Marissa Orozco produced today's show. Tarek Ansari is our studio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Ethan Elkind. It's Your Call.